Jayo Radha Madhava Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Praise the Guru Angadam.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tishtaya Bhutale Samati Bhakti Vidyanta Sankhya Krishna Tishtaya Bhutale Samati Bhakti Vidyanta Sankhya Krishna Tishtaya Bhutale Samati Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Okay, from Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 text 21
Nirashi
Yata
Chitta Atma Tyakta
Sarva
Parigraha Shariram Kevalam
Karma
Kurvan
Na
Apnoti
Kilabisham
Nirashiryata-chitta-atma.
Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. Again, such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. Purport. A Krishna-conscious person does not expect good or bad results in his activities. His mind and intelligence are fully controlled. He knows that because he is part and parcel of the Supreme, the part played by him as a part and parcel of the whole is not his own activity, but is only being done through him by the Supreme. When the hand moves, it does not move out of its own accord, but by the endeavor of the whole body. A Krishna-conscious person is always dovetailed with the Supreme desire, for he has no desire for personal sense gratification. He moves exactly like a part of a machine. As a machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance, so a Krishna-conscious man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He is therefore immune to all the reactions of his endeavors. Like an animal, he has no proprietorship even over his own body. A cruel proprietor of an animal sometimes kills the animal in his possession. Yet the animal does not protest, nor does it have any real independence. A Krishna-conscious person, fully engaged in self-realization, has very little time to falsely possess any material object. For maintaining body and soul, he does not require unfair means of accumulating money. He does not, therefore, become contaminated by such material sins. He is free from all reactions to his actions. Om Jnanati Marandasya Gnanjana Savakaya Chakshu Unmanitam Yenatas Maishi Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bangam Bangayate Garim Akripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Yenatananam. So, in this verse, Lord Krishna is describing characteristics of a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness. As we know, there are so many different characteristics of a devotee. And we see that there are certain symptoms which are manifest in the devotee, specifically those who's always fixed in their consciousness of the Supreme. Some of the characteristics are described here, that he feels no sense of proprietorship over his possessions. Example that is even given here in this purport, what to speak of one's own personal possessions, it describes that the characteristics of a person who is in Krishna consciousness is he does not even claim proprietorship even over his own body. Just as Prabhupada gives the example that like an animal, he has no proprietorship even over his own body. In other words, he is always thinking that the body is given to him to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And therefore, for the maintenance of the body, a Krishna conscious person simply maintains the body by some work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of Krishna. Therefore, one should never think that the human body is simply a vehicle simply for gratifying the senses, kamasya nendriya pritya level jivita yavata, that life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live in this body only because the human body enables one to inquire into the absolute truth. And this should therefore be the goal of all of one's work. In other words, the human body is meant to be used for ultimately achieving the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one who actually understands this, he knows that he must work, just as Prabhupada explains here. But he works simply to maintain the body fit for the service of Krishna. Therefore, it gives all justification to work when one works in this consciousness. Whereas Krishna explains that one who works simply to gratify the senses, then he becomes implicated in the reactions of his work. Unless he works for the satisfaction of Krishna, yagyatat kama nonyo cha loko yam kama bandana taratam kama kantiya mukta sangha samachara, that work performed as a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord Krishna has to be performed, otherwise the work will bind one to the material world. Therefore one should perform his work for his satisfaction, and in that way one remains unattached and freed from bondage. So if one understands that this body is actually a gift given by the Lord to be used for the service of the Lord, then to work, one can work in such a way that he does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. So just as the example is given, a very nice example, a pastime of Lord Chaitanya and his devotee Sanatana Goswami. This is a nice example of how the Lord describes to his devotee how his body is meant to be used for his service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one pastime where Sanatana Goswami, who is he was going from to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and he was situated in Mathura, and on his way to Jagannath Puri he passed through the forest of Jarikanda. While in the forest of Jarikanda, Sanatana Goswami had drunk some water which was bad, and it caused his body to become covered with all kinds of sores. And from these sores, blood was coming out, and infectious material was coming out from these sores. And when he contracted this disease, he began to think within his mind that actually I'm going to Jagannath Puri simply so that I can have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so that I can see Lord Jagannath. But he was thinking that he had very low birth. And therefore, because he had low birth, it would not be possible to gain the darshan of Lord Jagannath, because the darshan is restricted for those who have not been considered to be a high birth. And also it's described that Lord Chaitanya, he resided very close to the Jagannath temple. And because if he wanted to go see Lord Chaitanya, he would have to go near the Jagannath temple. So he began to think that I can't even go see Lord Chaitanya near the Jagannath temple, because if I do so, now that I have all these infections all over my body, then if some pujari from the Jagannath temple happens to brush by my body and touches me, then immediately he'll become contaminated and he will not be able to perform his worship. So he's thinking that what could I possibly accomplish by going there? Better I simply give up this useless body because it cannot be engaged in devotional service. So he was thinking in this way as he was going on his way to Jagannath Puri. And then when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, he immediately began seeking out Haridas Thakur, because Haridas Thakur was a very intimate associate of the Lord. in fact, described that Haridasa Thakur was such an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya that the Supreme Lord would, every day he would go and he would visit him personally. Although Haridasa Thakur also is considered that his birth was not high enough to enter into the Jagannath temple himself. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath himself, he would come every day and visit Haridasa Thakur, and he would personally bring him prasad. So, Lord Chaitanya would go to this place of Haridasa Thakur, and therefore Sanatana Goswami, he went directly to that place, thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come at some point. So he spoke for some time with Haridasa Thakur, and Haridasa Thakur explained to him that very soon Lord Chaitanya will come, you should wait here. Lord Chaitanya went to that place, and he saw Haridasa Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. He immediately embraced Haridasa Thakur, such as, of course, the Lord, that he's very much anxious to embrace his devotee who was very dear to him. And then, at a distance, he saw that Sanatana Goswami was also there. And Lord Chaitanya approached Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami was thinking, his body is useless. He cannot approach me, he can't touch me in any way. So he tried to refuse, he tried to deny Lord Chaitanya from embracing him. But nonetheless, Lord Chaitanya approached him and forcefully embraced Sanatana Goswami. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami was very distressed by this. He was thinking that, actually, I've come here for my own benefit, but now, seeing that the Lord is coming and approaching and touching my body, I'm not benefiting at all. Certainly I'm going to be condemned by the offense that has been committed by allowing him to touch this contaminated body. So Sanatana Goswami, within his mind, he was thinking that he would actually take that body and he would throw it under the wheel of the chariot, Lord Jagannath, and he would give up his life. So, when Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sanatana Goswami, he told him that actually he should stay in Jagannath Puri, he should stay with Haridasa Thakur. And because Sanatana Goswami had the opportunity to relish the mellows of devotional service and was very much attracted to chanting the holy names of the Lord, he told that he should continuously stay in Jagannath Puri for at least 1 year and associate with Haridasa Thakur, and then he left that place. When he left, his servant Govinda used to every day bring some foodstuffs for both Haridasa Thakur and for Sanatana Goswami. And then one time, Lord Chaitanya came again to visit both of them, and he said to Sanatana Goswami, he said, if I could actually attain perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, by committing suicide, he said, I would simply give up my body millions of times without any hesitation, Sanatana Goswami. So when Sanatana Goswami heard this, he was thinking, oh, the Lord understands my desires. Because the Lord is omniscient, he certainly understands what is in the heart of his devotee. He understands, of course, what's in the heart of every living being, as described by the Supreme Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. He's situated within everyone's heart, and from him come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So as the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also knew what was going on within the mind and within the heart of Sanatana Goswami. And he explained to him that actually such thoughts of suicide means that one is influenced by the mode of ignorance. And one should never think that one can actually attain devotional service by giving up one's body. Therefore he insisted that even though one who feels separation for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of feelings of intense separation, sometimes it is seen that such devotees, intense separation, they actually desire to give up the body. But because of the feelings of separation are so strong, when they actually come in union with the Supreme Lord in those feelings of separation, then they can never possibly think of giving up their body. So Lord Chaitanya describes that, yes, although sometimes one may think in this way, one should never think of voluntarily giving up his body in this way. And one will never be able to ultimately attain the state of pure devotional service. So Sanatana Goswami, when he heard this, he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, actually, what profit could there possibly be of maintaining of this body, keeping this body alive in this world? He was thinking himself to be very insignificant, which is oftentimes the attitude of a completely surrendered devotee of the Lord. He thinks himself to be insignificant. He thinks his life to be insignificant. He only wants simply to satisfy the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that actually I have many plans for that body. Yeah. And therefore, you cannot give up that body. He says, with that body, it is going to be, I want to execute my purposes, because I personally, and he explained that I cannot go to Mathura Vrindavan. Mathura Vrindavan, that is my place of residence. But I cannot go there because I promised my mother. Just as Lord Chaitanya, he promised Sachi Mata when he accepted the renounced order of life that he would remain in Jagannath Puri. And therefore, keeping that promise, Lord Chaitanya remained. He did not leave Jagannath Puri for the later portion of his life. The entire portion of that of his life, he remained there and did not go to Mathura Vrindavan. But he said, although I cannot go to Mathura Vrindavan, therefore, I want to expand the glories of devotional service in that place. And therefore, I have plans for that body, to use that body to do this, to accomplish this. With that body, I want you to go and to establish the principles, ascertain the principles of devotional service, to ascertain the principles of a devotee of the Lord, to determine the principles of love of Godhead, Vaishnava qualities, Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava characteristics. Not only that, but with that body I want you to go and to excavate the lost places of the Lord Krishna's pastimes, to establish centers of places where one can actually cultivate love of Godhead, to teach the principles of devotional service. And I also want you to go and to actually adopt, teach others how one can adopt the renounced order of life. All of these purposes I want fulfilled with that body. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami that you have surrendered that body to me, and therefore it is not proper for one who actually has somebody else's possessions to give somebody else's possessions, to misuse somebody else's possessions. That's my possession. That body belongs to me. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya was instructing Sanatana Goswami that his body was meant to be used or to be engaged fully in the service of the Lord. And then, after giving him suitable instructions, Lord Chaitanya left that place. And of course, Sanatana Goswami could understand that, it is very difficult to understand the purposes of the Lord. But just like a puppet, the Lord simply pulls the strings of his devotees, and his devotee acts simply as the Lord wishes. He acts as a completely surrendered instrument for the Lord. And that this is the Lord's pastime. Because the Lord actually, he wants to glorify his devotee. He actually wants to glorify Sanatana Goswami. And therefore, he tested Sanatana Goswami. One day, Lord Chaitanya, he called for Sanatana Goswami to come. And Sanatana Goswami, instead of going by the path, by the Jagannath temple, Sanatana Goswami, he took the path along the beach. He didn't want to go by the Jagannath temple for the very same reason, thinking that his body was so contaminated that if he goes anywhere near the Jagannath temple, he will contaminate others. So instead, Sanatana Goswami, he went upon to answer the call of Lord Chaitanya. And when he arrived at that place, Lord Chaitanya asked Sanatana Goswami, how did you come here? And Sanatana Goswami said, I came by the beach. And Lord Chaitanya said, but actually by the beach, the sand is very, very hot. And in fact, this was during the months of May and June. And during these months, it is excessively hot at that time. And then he asked, why did you not go by the direct route? Why did you go by the beach? And Sanatana Goswami explained that I did not want to go anywhere near the Jagannath temple. And he said, Lord Chaitanya said, but when you went by the beach, then therefore you must have burnt the heels of your feet, the soles of your feet, and you must have been blistered by the sand. And Sanatana Goswami said, I do not feel anything whatsoever walking upon the hot sand. So, although previously Sanatana Goswami was thinking of giving up his body, now Lord Chaitanya was testing Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami was willing to voluntarily accept so much personal inconvenience And Lord Chaitanya explained that Sanatana Goswami did this simply to uphold the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. Because that is the nature of a devotee. A devotee always observes and maintains the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that Sanatana Goswami voluntarily accepted these austerities of walking on the hot sand, he became very, very pleased with him. And he also approached Sanatana Goswami and he embraced him again. And Sanatana Goswami, upon actually being embraced by Lord Chaitanya, he again tried to refuse this embrace, but it was not possible for him. And but then when Lord Chaitanya embraced Sanatana Goswami again, then after they had embraced, then all the different sores in his body, they completely went away. And the complexion of Sanatana Goswami's body became completely golden in color and hue. When Haridas Thakur saw this transformation in the body of Sanatana Goswami, he described that we can understand that all of this is simply your pastime. He said, we can understand that actually it was by your will that Sanatana Goswami, he walked through the forest of Jarakanda, and by your will he had drank this water, and all these sores came from his body. And it is by your will that you embraced Sanatana Goswami, and by your embrace, you transformed his body completely and freed him from from all of these different sores in the body. So, the devotee, of course, who completely surrenders his body for the service of the Lord, is always anxious to use his body for the service of the Lord, as described here. Then, that he knows that he knows that because he is part and parcel of the Supreme, that the part played by him as a part and parcel of the whole is not his own activity, but is only being done through him by the Supreme. In other words, that is the idea, that is the understanding of one who's actually completely surrendered himself to the Lord. He understands that actually this body is simply meant to be used by the Lord. And however the Lord wishes to use this body to establish the principles of devotional service and to engage him in devotional service, then he is always prepared to accept whatever is the desire of the Lord. Although he was thinking at first that better I give up this body because it is useless for devotional service. Nonetheless, when Lord Chaitanya instructed him, then Sanatana Goswami immediately accepted that instruction. And therefore he maintained his life in his body. And the Lord therefore eradicated all the sores from his body. And of course we know that Sanatana Goswami was engaged in this particular way by the Lord. Sanatana Goswami did go to Vrindavan. He wrote many books, many transcendental literatures in the glorification of the Lord. He established devotional service of the Lord. He taught by his example how one can adopt the renounced order of life. And in this way, the Lord uses his devotee, engages his devotee as his instrument to execute his purposes and his plan. So this is the characteristic of a devotee who is fully Krishna conscious. He gives up all sense of proprietorship over his own possessions and even over his own body and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Of course, this is another characteristic of the devotee. He does not endeavor for things which are... he never endeavors for things which are very difficult to obtain. A devotee simply acts only to accept whatever is necessary to maintain body and soul together. Because he knows this body is not meant for sense gratification, therefore he accepts whatever is given to him by the Lord. He is always satisfied. He is in all circumstances of life. That is the criteria of a devotee. Narayanat paraksave nakutasthanya bhibati sarga pavaga nakeshvapi tuliyata darshana. The devotees of the Lord, they are not disturbed in any condition of life, because wherever they may be, whether they are in heaven or hell or in a liberated state, for them everything is the same, because a devotee's only concern is to be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, he only acts for the bare necessities of life, and he's satisfied as long as he can be exclusively engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, Lord Krishna explains that a person who is always working in this way, he is never affected by the sinful reactions of his work. Whereas one who works and is attached to the fruits of his work, he is bound by the reactions of his work, and therefore he has to come back again to the material world. A devotee, his only desire is to work for the satisfaction of the Lord. He is freed from all the actions of work. And ultimately, he achieves the platform of pure Krishna consciousness, and he goes back home, back to Godhead, which is the actual purpose and goal or mission of this human form of life. So these are some of the characteristics of a Krishna conscious person, and we always can use the examples of great Vaishnava devotees of the Lord in helping us to understand what examples that we should also be aspiring for in Krishna consciousness. The Lord actually uses his devotees in this way to establish the ideal example. Just as Lord Chaitanya also said of Madhavendra Puri, that the behavior of devotee establishes the two true characteristics of religious principles. And because by Madhavendra Puri's behavior, he actually teaches everybody what is the actual ideal standard of behavior for everyone in devotional service to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was speaking about this, about Madhavendra Puri, in reference to how Madhavendra Puri once he accepted prasad in the house of a Sanodiya Brahman. And actually it's understood that at that time that a Vaishnava, he should not eat within the house of a Sanodiya Brahman. But Lord Chaitanya, he actually could understand that Madhavendra Puri, when he met, personally also met this Sanodiya Brahman, he could see that this Brahman actually manifested such qualities, such characteristics of love of God. And when he could see such characteristics manifest in his body, then immediately Lord Chaitanya could recognize that this Brahman must have had the association of a very great Vaishnava. So he asked the Brahman of his past, and the Brahman explained to him that actually he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, and when the same Brahman invited Lord Chaitanya to his home, then Lord Chaitanya said, well, Madhavendra Puri, he establishes the two principles of religion, he establishes two religious principles, because he went to this home of the son of the Brahman, and he actually accepted food that was offered to him, he initiated him as disciple. Then certainly, I must, even myself, I must follow the example of my devotee. So, the behavior of a devotee establishes the principles of religion. So therefore, the Lord uses his devotee or engages his devotee to teach by the example of the devotee what is the actual ideal standard of behavior to be completely surrendered servant of the Supreme Lord, and to have no other interest other than the interest of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord who teach by this example, they help us to understand what is the goal for which we should all be aspiring for is surrendered servants of the Supreme Lord. So these are the characteristics, some of the characteristics. Many verses in this chapter describes the characteristics of a person who is in Krishna conscious. These are the characteristics which are particularly described in this verse. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments, they'd like to ask. Yes. We have to actually receive the mercy by approaching them and rendering service to them. Just it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that that if one actually wants to develop an attraction for hearing and chanting of Krishna, about Krishna, one should actually render service to those devotees who are completely free from vice, and by such service, great service is done. And it is also as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Naishamati Stavad Urukumangrin Sprishatyanana Pagamo Yurata. Mahiya Sampara Jobishekam Nishkinchana Namna Navrita Yavat, that unless one smears upon his body the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnavas who are completely freed from contamination, this is the only means by which one can actually become attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. Only by approaching the Lord in this way and rendering service to the Lord in this way can one actually become free from all material contamination. So in order to achieve the mercy of the Vaishnava, one actually has to approach the Vaishnava and with a sincere desire to actually take the dust from his lotus feet. taking the dust from his lotus feet means that one actually has to be prepared to hear the instructions given by the Vaishnava and to render service and to execute the instructions of the Vaishnava. And this is how he can actually achieve the mercy. But of course, we understand that in order to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord, this is as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one can get the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, in order for the Vaishnava to actually give mercy, he must also have the mercy of Krishna. So one who actually has Krishna's mercy, just as Prabhupada explains, the Vaishnava, the devotee of the Lord, is just like the rain cloud, whereas the rain cloud does not distribute its own water, but the rain cloud gathers the water from the ocean, and it collects the water from the ocean and then redistributes that water from the ocean. So in the same way, the Vaishnava is one who actually has the mercy of the Supreme Lord. I mean, he is not actually distributing his own mercy, but actually because he's carrying the mercy of Krishna, therefore he is able to give this mercy to others. If one actually wants to get this mercy of the Vaishnava, one actually has to be very, very eager to receive it. This is the requirement. One who is eager to receive that mercy means that he'll be prepared to do anything to get that mercy from the Vaishnava. Whatever instructions he may give, whatever is required, if he's simply eager to get that mercy, then the Vaishnava, who actually is carrying that mercy, is very much inclined to distribute it. This is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also describes it. This is a rain cloud, also distributes the water without discrimination. To put out the blazing fire of material existence, Srila Prabhupada explains that the rain cloud does not discriminate where it actually distributes its water. It distributes its water both on the land and also to the earth and the grass and the vegetation. It also distributes its water on the rocks. It does not discriminate where it distributes. So in the same way, the Vaishnava, he does not discriminate where he distributes the mercy. But in order to actually receive that mercy, one actually has to be properly receptacle. Therefore, according to the particular qualities or characteristics of that receptacle, one can actually obtain the favor of a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, if one actually wants that mercy, he must actually go to that Vaishnava who actually carries the mercy, and therefore he must also be very eager to achieve that mercy, both by hearing from the Vaishnava and by rendering service. Tadhiti panipatina paripurasthena sevaya upadekshati jnanam tanina sattva darshana. One can learn the truth by approaching spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and to serve him. And the self-realized soul imparts knowledge upon him because he sees the truth. This is how one actually achieves the mercy. Pariprasnena sevaya. There must be submissive inquiry, and there must be service. And if one actually approaches a Vaishnava in this mood, then Vaishnava is very much inclined to actually to bestow that mercy upon the devotee. But one, just as you were there the other night, we were speaking about that point that the mercy that is bestowed both by the Vaishnava and bestowed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself is not necessarily how we may actually expect it. Sometimes we may think something is mercy because it's very pleasing to us, but sometimes in order to receive the mercy of Vaishnava, it may be in the form of some punishment or some chastisement. And we actually have to be prepared to accept mercy in whatever form it manifests itself. Not always what's most appealing or what my expectations of mercy is. And sometimes we have a tendency to think that when something is appealing to me, then that's Krishna's mercy. But if something is distasteful, that's not mercy. And of course that we gave this whole talk the other night about how the Lord is very merciful to his devotee. And the Lord sometimes he even chastises his devotee very severely. But when the devotee accepts that as mercy, then the Lord becomes very much inclined towards that devotee. Just as he became with Mukundadat. When Mukundadat was actually chastised by the Lord, and the Lord refused to actually give him his darshan, to call him before him. And the Lord told Mukundadat that he will have to wait 10 million births before he will actually be able to see him again. Because Mukundadat had such firm faith and accepted that as the mercy of the Lord then immediately called Mukundadat before him and immediately gave him his darshan. 10 million births immediately became reduced to a moment because Mukunda Dutt accepted it as mercy. So we have to be prepared to accept the mercy of the Lord as delivered by the devotee of the Lord in whatever form that it comes. And if we actually can always see things in that way as Krishna's mercy, then the Lord becomes very much inclined to give that mercy, and he'll use his devotees who are carrying his mercy as the distributors of that mercy. Although the Lord is completely self-satisfied, we must understand, to have the complete understanding of the Lord means we must also understand the Lord along with his energies. Because they're inseparable. The Lord and his energies are completely inseparable. The living entities, they are also the energies of the Lord. As Krishna describes his external energy, Bhumi Arpona Lovayu Kamano Buddha Ivacha, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, he comprises separated material energies. And then he says, besides the inferior nature is the superior nature, which are the living entities. The living entities are the superior energy of the Lord. And the Lord, we understand that the living entities exist for the ever-increasing pleasure of the Lord. And we understand the Lord is fully self-satisfied, but yet his pleasure is always increasing, continuously, at every moment, it's ever-increasing. But what is actually increasing the pleasure of the Lord? The Lord actually, his pleasure, the Lord wants to derive pleasure. He doesn't derive pleasure from this material world. The Lord never comes in contact with this material world. The Lord derives pleasure from on the spiritual platform, in his internal potency, with his devotees. And how is that pleasure derived? The Lord derives his pleasure by giving pleasure to his devotees. That's what increases his pleasure more and more and more. This is Krishna tells Uddhava, the sadhyati mam yogo na sankhya dhamma Uddhava. He says that the unalloyed devotional service which is rendered by my devotee brings me under his control. I cannot be controlled by jnana yoga, by mystic yoga, sankhya yoga. I cannot be controlled by renunciation. Nor can I be controlled by study of the Vedas. None of these things. But when a devotee engages in unalloyed devotional service, then actually the Lord describes that he actually comes under the control of that pure unalloyed devotee. What does it mean, under the control? That means that the Lord actually becomes inclined to give pleasure to his devotees. So we exist for the Lord's pleasure, yes. The ever-increasing pleasure of the Lord comes when the Lord actually is giving that pleasure, reciprocating that pleasure with his devotees. Therefore, his pleasure is ever-increasing, unlimitedly increasing. We cannot understand Krishna fully unless we understand Krishna along with his energies. And his energies means the living entities, parts and parcels. That is the full understanding of the Lord. But just as the energies of the Lord are there, then we must understand that the Lord is eternal, also the living entities are eternal. Just as Krishna tells Arjuna, Nati Vaham Jatu Nasam Natvam Nini Janadipa. He said to Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist. Also, never was there a time when you did not exist, and all these kings in the future will any of us cease to be. Just as Krishna is eternal, he has no beginning, he has no end. In the same way, the living entities who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also have no beginning, they also have no end. But the fundamental difference between the living entities and the Lord is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always God, and the living entities are never God. They are parts and parcels of the Lord, and they exist for the increasing pleasure of the Lord. So someone may say, why? Why did Krishna? But one actually has to understand that, and to understand Krishna's plan is not very easy. If we actually want to understand why does Krishna create us, why what is Krishna's plan and the whole purpose of this creation is. It's not so easy to be understood simply by mental speculation. If we actually want to understand Krishna, and when we understand the greatness of His personality, then, and then it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Atapiti Deva Padam Bhaja Vraya Prasadala Sanagrihita Evihi, that only when one engages in devotional service of the Lord and gets a drop of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, then can he understand the greatness of His personality. Even if one studies the Vedas for many, many births, he'll never be able to understand it. It'll always remain a mystery. He must actually get that drop of mercy that we were just talking about. Without that mercy, it's very difficult to understand. If we try to understand simply approaching Krishna without devotional service, it's inconceivable. But by the process of devotional service, and when one actually experiences devotional service and begins to understand the true glory of devotional service, then he can begin to understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. Then he can actually understand why he exists, why Krishna exists, and why all the living entities are meant to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. Because it is the highest pleasure. Everyone, every living being can experience the highest pleasure. Why? Because the Lord is one who is very much inclined to give pleasure. And that is His greatest pleasure. That is what actually gives Him. That is what increases His pleasure, and by increasing the pleasure of His devotees. That's Kali Yuga, but that doesn't mean that we all have to be part of Kali Yuga. Kalea dosha nade raja nasti heko mahadgana kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangam puram vajet. Yes, the age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of all bad qualities, but it has one good quality, it has one redeeming factor. What is it? Now, what is that redeeming factor? Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangam puram vajet. That simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can actually achieve perfection. He can go back home, back to Godhead. Iti shodashikam nam nam kalika mashanashanam nata paratoropaya savavirishu jishate. That these 16 words of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra are the only way to counteract the sinful effects in this age of Kali Yuga. There's no other way to become free from the contamination of this age. And if you study all the Vedic literatures, you'll never find a method of religion which is more sublime than the chanting of Hare Krishna. So in this age of Kali, the Lord is so kind that He's actually come in this age to give us this process. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, by receiving the holy name of the Lord, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas who are distributing the holy name of the Lord. And Kali Kalera Dhamma Krishna Nama Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tari Pravatana. Those devotees of the Lord who have actually been empowered by the Lord and who distribute the holy name of the Lord, then anyone who receives the holy name of the Lord from such devotees and chants that holy name of the Lord, then he can achieve perfection in this age. So although it's Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. Although it's Kali Yuga, we can just say, it's Kali Yuga, everybody's falling. But actually, it's Kali Yuga, it's a glorious age. It's a glorious age because Lord Chaitanya appeared in this age to give the process, the most simplest process of devotional service. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. What was so inaccessible before became accessible by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. As described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, although the process of bhakti is so very difficult to understand, Lord Chaitanya manifested it so nicely and made it so accessible in this age of Kali Yuga. Although previously very difficult to understand to approach devotional service. Even it's described that although the Supreme Lord gives one liberation very easily, He doesn't give devotional service so easily, because when He gives devotional service, He also gives Himself. So it's not so easy to attain. But Lord Chaitanya has actually made it so accessible and so easy to attain in this age. So because it's Kali Yuga, it's glorious. Because if one actually takes up the chanting of Hare Krishna, in this age, the age of quarrel, the age of Kali, he will actually be able to achieve the perfection of life. That's how Lord Chaitanya has manifested in this age. So if we use Kali Yuga as an excuse, then all we have to do is simply take the holy name. That is all that's required.
No, I'm not saying that you want to use what I'm saying, because the implication that you're talking about has to be so much that to the extent that now you think of, you know, the devotional service and doing all these things, sure, you're going to get there. the direction, not sedimentary circulation. You see everything as a goal, just like seeing the decisions out of here, like whatever happens is manifest destiny. And there,
Yeah, but Krishna also says, Savadama Puritsajam Amikam Saranam Vraja. He says, abandon all varieties of religious surrender to me, and whatever may appear to be destiny will immediately become nullified. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Well, the process of surrender in this age is to take, Kali Kala Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoitai Haisava Jagat Nistara. The process of surrender in this age is simply to take the holy name of the Lord and to chant the holy name of the Lord. Anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly, and certainly he becomes delivered. That is the process of surrender in this age. You may say it's not so easy, but Lord Chaitanya has made it easy. And one who actually chants the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, digging himself lower than the straw of the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, he'll be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Okay. Yes.
On a practical level, you know, there are at any time 5 billion plus bodies on this planet, including a billion or so in India, including me. Question is really centered for me, but general. How does everybody realize what his or her mission is in terms of what he or she needs to do for the Lord? Because they're all in different stages of their age stage, disease stage, health, whatever, and different bullets in their cycle. How does one practically realize that before it is too late, before you finish this life?
Therefore, it is stated that Tol Gurum Pranam Yayam Savasvam Vidivedicha. It is the duty of every human being to accept the bona fide spiritual master and take Vaishnava initiation from him. Giving him his body, his mind, and his words, one must actually surrender his life to actually a bona fide spiritual master. Duty of every human being. Actually, that is the mission in the human form of life, is one actually has to seek out a bona fide spiritual master. There's no other way that one can actually understand how to directly serve the Lord, and what is actually what is his mission for serving the Lord. If one actually wants to understand the mission, then we have to follow the example of all the great Vaishnava Acharyas. The Vaishnava, just as we explained before, the Vaishnava Acharyas, they showed by their ideal example how they understood what their mission was. Just as Sanatan Goswami, as we gave the example, he knew what his mission was. He received the order of the Supreme Lord. We understand that if one does not have the opportunity to associate with the Lord directly, then he must actually receive the order through the representative of the Lord. And even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he appears in this world, he also teaches by his example. He also accepts spiritual master, just to show by that example that everyone must accept spiritual master. That is how one can actually begin to understand what is the mission of his life. Therefore, until one actually comes to that platform of accepting a spiritual master, then he should know what is his duty, just as Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, tasmat chastam pramanate kaya kaya vivyastato. One should know what is his duty, what is not his duty, by the rules and regulations which are given in Shastra. Knowing such rules and regulations, he should act so he can be gradually elevated. So he begins to understand what is his duty in life by rules and regulations which are given in Shastra. But to study the Shastra is very confusing because there's so many rules and regulations given in Shastra. Therefore, also when one reads Shastra, he actually sees that right there in the Lord Krishna's teaching to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, tadvidhi panipatina pariprasnina sevya, that one must also accept a bona fide spiritual master. He must inquire from him submissively and render service. In this way, one can actually begin to understand what is his actual mission in life. Just as our own Guru Maharaj, the Prabhupada, he taught by his example that he made his mission in life the order that was given to him by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told him to take this Krishna consciousness philosophy and to bring it to the West and to distribute it. And that was his meditation. That was his mission. And everything he did was always in connection. He was in constant remembrance of that order. He was always thinking how to execute that order, planning for so many years, and then struggling for so many years. Prabhupada gives the example that the order of the spiritual master and Krishna, they are like two trains of a track. They both must be there simultaneously. If one actually wants to surrender to Krishna and to always remember Krishna, he must also have the order of the spiritual master. Otherwise, how can he depend upon Krishna? How does he know what should I accept and what should I reject? What is the basis for accepting and rejecting? There may be so many obstacles in the execution of one's mission. There are so many difficulties that will lay before one's path. So if one actually doesn't know what is the order for him to follow, he may reject it, thinking that there's too many obstacles. But actually those obstacles may actually be placed before him to actually give him the opportunity to actually become more fully surrendered and actually achieving the goal, the fulfillment of that mission. So many devotees, we see by their example, faced so many obstacles. This is Prabhupada, faced so many obstacles in establishing this Krishna consciousness movement. But he understood his mission through the instructions given by his spiritual master.
See, not everybody, very few people are on that caliber or are cut out for preaching.
You said, how does one know what is his order? One may say that, well, what is my duty in life? In order to understand what is one's duty in life, you may be saying that everybody's duty is to become preacher. But that may not necessarily be one's duty in life to become preacher. But if one actually wants to know what is his duty, then he actually has to receive it from a higher authority. This is where the duties come from higher authority. If we can create many self-imposed duties. It's like a man, he may think that he has so many duties in his life. I have a duty to country, I have a duty to family, I have a duty to friends, I have a duty to employer, I have a duty to so many people. But many of these duties are self-imposed duties. But what is the actual real duty? All duties have to be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna. That whatever duty a person, a best amongst the twice born, is therefore concluded that the highest perfection that one can achieve by discharging his duty is that he must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the performance of his duty. He must do what Krishna wants him to do. Therefore, that has to come down from higher authority. Not everybody will become preacher. Maybe some, his duty will be to work and to teach others how to work by his example. Someone may actually work. Just as Srila Prabhupada explains that a person, he may work and he may use the fruits of his work to establish a temple of the Lord. If that is his duty, then certainly by doing so, he is teaching others also by that duty. This is, he gives the example in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita of kings like Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj, he taught by his example how to work. He was a king. He was a monarch. He was an administrator of the entire kingdom. It's not necessarily that he was a preacher, but he was preaching because he was teaching by his example how one should work in the full consciousness of Krishna. So, one's prescribed duties, of course, are given to him according to one's particular nature. But ultimately, it's understood that one engages in these prescribed duties, just as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, is that by worship of the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all beings, man can achieve perfection by performance of his prescribed duties. How does he achieve that perfection? Tasmat saveshu kalishu mama nusmara yudhyacha mayapata manobhudya mamishaivaisha shamsaya. Krishna tells Arjuna, you should perform your prescribed duty, but at the same time you should think of me. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed upon me, you will come to me. Of this there's no doubt. But one should know what is his duty established from the higher authority.
Can that duty prescription from established higher authority spiritual master be very specific?
Yes, very specific. And when one is actually ready to receive it, then by divine arrangement it will come.
Meaning you are supposed to surrender your mind and say, look, I need my faith in the spiritual master.
Yes, but that requires some faith. Therefore, Krishna says in the beginning, inquire submissively. That's the beginning. The beginning means that there must be some dialogue. That when there's actual dialogue and one inquires submissively, then what happens is that one actually begins to perceive that actually there's some substance behind these instructions. He's not actually simply presenting some whimsical instructions, but he's presenting these instructions in the authority of Shastra, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. This is our foundation for developing faith. That the devotee, he does not simply present instructions on his own behalf, but he's always presenting instructions in accordance with the higher authorities. So by this engaging and hearing from the devotee, then one can act, and inquiring submissively, one can begin to understand and cultivate faith. That yes, here's somebody that actually I can actually ask, what is my duty? That's what Sanatana Goswami did. He approached Lord Chaitanya, he says, Ke ami? He says, please, tell me, who am I? Everybody says, I'm a very intelligent man, very wealthy man, prestigious position, I speak so many different languages, but actually I know this is all external. When he approached Lord Chaitanya, he says, please tell me, who am I? What is the purpose of this life? Why am I suffering these threefold miseries? When Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya this way, then Lord Chaitanya actually delivered the instructions and revealed everything to Sanatana Goswami.
Is this actually or required or desirable to have only one spiritual master, or you can have several?
It is desirable to have an association of spiritual master who can give us Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example, if you can go to a supermarket, if you can get everything in one place, then why should you drive all over the city to different variety stores to pick up an item at one place and after the other? And if you can't find it, look. All right. I think we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.